My privilege to be here again this morning with you. I thank you for your kindness to me, and I sincerely can say that I love you all in a special way. The precious thoughts that Brother Virgil had to say in the sweet prayer, I trust that you've been my friend for many, many years, just like you all have, and I thank God for him and like him, and I thank God for you and people like you. You've been, you know, there's a big difference in friendship and fellowship.
Yeah.
You know, I had a big, big family. That's not the way it is anymore. They've passed, and I'm now where I thought they once were.
Yeah.
And they were good, hard-working people. That is, most of them. And we had wonderful fellowship when we came, or friendship, when we came together. But when it came to religion, we were poles apart. And it didn't keep me from loving them. And it didn't keep them from loving me. But I only could wish that they knew what I know.
Yeah.
They would be far more comfortable in this world that is no friend of grace. And I'm thankful to God today that I know what I know.
Amen.
And I can stand here and confirm that to you as God's believing children. Call your attention this morning to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And I want to begin reading with verse 20. And this is the last of the chapter, the last of this first book. But I want to read chapter 6, verses 20 and 21. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Avoid profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. Now, I want to go back to the first part of this book and give you just a foundation that Paul gave to Timothy. And I tell young preachers, wherever I go, and I feel as good today as I have in a number of years. But I tell young preachers, wherever I go, it is important to be established in the faith.
Yes.
Now, I understand practical things are needful. I understand that. But it is so important that we contend for the faith, or the truth, or the gospel, those terms can be interchanged. Contend for the faith that was once and for all time delivered to the saints.
Amen.
There is no new revelation.
No.
Understand. This book is a closed book. When men say that they have had a new revelation, red flags goes up.
Yeah.
Because there is no new revelation. Jesus Christ, God in his almighty wisdom, revealed that to the apostles directly. And then they themselves laid hands on men like Timothy for the perpetuity or the continuance of the truth of the gospel. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. And as Paul began to write this, he termed Timothy unto Timothy, my son in the faith. It's very important that you understand that. Unto Timothy, mine own son in the faith. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went to Macedonia, that thou mayest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. You see, Paul instructed this young man, and since he was his son in the faith, I'm going to go out on a limb here, which is, I think, absolutely correct, and say that Paul was his own father in the ministry.
Right.
Not only was he his own son, but Paul was his own father in the ministry. And he left him at Ephesus to charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Now, he's going to tell you that there were some that erred from the faith, teaching that even the resurrection was past already. And the Bible said that they overthrew the faith of some. You understand now where we're going. They overthrew the faith of some. Read it in the second chapter. They were desiring to be teachers of the law. 1 Timothy 1:7. Desiring to be teachers of the law, but they understood neither what they said nor whereof they affirm. So this is what this young man was dealing with. And sad to say, there's always been that element in the world. It's always been here. Therefore, when men are ordained to the ministry, they are charged, or should be charged, like Timothy, that they teach no other doctrine. Now, I've given you that, but I want you to notice again what Paul has said to him in chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. So, as Paul admonished this man, here's what he said in chapter 2 and verse 5. And I'm going to skip some verses. For there is one God, and one mediator, and this word mediator, the one that stands between, but it goes further than that. And this word actually means peacemaker. The Bible says, for there is one God, and we can read it like this, and one peacemaker.
Yeah.
Between God and who? Men.
Yes.
Who is it? The man, Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, I want you to know today that Paul was admonished, Brother Virgil, to preach this doctrine.
Yes,
that men be established in the truth and in the faith that was once and for all time delivered to the saints.
Yes.
There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And then he caps the stack when he says, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Now, what this means was this was going to be revealed in God's appointed time. Who gave himself a ransom for all? All who? All the elect of God.
Yes.
If I'm standing down at the railroad station and the conductor says all aboard, does that mean everybody on the platform? No. It means everybody's got a ticket, doesn't it? The word all is always qualified. Always qualified. The Bible says all things are yours. Some of you gentlemen got a new truck out there. I need one. And if all things are mine, I'm just going to drive that truck home. Well, more than apt, I'd get arrested before I got across the line. You see what I'm talking about here. All doesn't mean all things in general. Now, there are times that it does. But here, the text and the context tell us that all who have been ransomed shall be testified in due time. How? Through you persevering in the truth that's been revealed from above. Paul says, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. So we have the authority, brothers and sisters, to lift up one another. I'm not talking about going around with your hands all raised up every day, but what I am talking about in that in the day of Moses. You remember, Brother Virgil, when they were in battle and God told him to hold up his hands, but he became weak as a man. And what happened? His brethren came and held up his hands for him.
Yeah.
I tell you this today, that's the reason we need one another.
That's right.
That's the reason that we need one another. That's the reason we're commanded to bear one another's burdens. When we become weak physically, that others in like faith can come and hold up holy hands. These hands are not holy. I'll tell you, they're defiled with sin. But I'll tell you, there is a sense in which we can hold up holy hands. And I'm not talking about physical hands, but we can hold up our thought. We can hold up the truth of the gospel that God holds in his hands, and God recognizes that as obedience to his word.
Yeah.
What a wonderful thought that is to me.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to come on a little further now. And he comes down to chapter 5. And he gives him a warning here. Now. If I know what the word now means, it means now. It covers a lot of territory. It not only means then, but it means now. He says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly. Speaketh with an inner wisdom. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. Listen to that. In the latter times. Now let me just say this. Here on the television and other forms of information about how that we live in the last days, and that very well may be so. I don't doubt that very seriously. But I'll tell you, we've been living in the last days since Jesus went back to heaven.
Yes.
We've been one step closer. One step closer to his return. And even when Jesus taught, he said, now, to the church at Jerusalem, he said, now is your redemption drawing nigh. Well, he's saying here now, now the Spirit speaketh expressly with wisdom and authority, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. That was true then. I want to tell you it's true now. You know, We as Primitive Baptists have some among us, and they've come along all down through history, that departed from the faith. Sad as that is, it's true. And we still have some today that are and have departed from the faith.
Yeah.
But Paul instructs his son, now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirit and doctrines, listen to that in the plural, and doctrines of devils. When the Bible says doctrine, he says this, doctrine. He says, I charge thee to preach no other doctrine in the singular. Why? Because there's only one. But when he says doctrines, every time without exception, it means falsehood. Doctrines of devils. Jesus said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. Doctrines always has a reference to falsehood. Doctrines of devils. Speaking lies in hypocrisy, that is false pretense. Having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Then he comes down to verse 7. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Now, then he says, bodily exercise profiteth little. I love that verse. Y'all get that? Bodily exercise. profiteth little. I work all the time, but bodily exercise, sometimes I fail in that regard. It profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is and that of which is to come. Now, brother, I want you to understand today that when he says refuse profane and old wives' tales, I preached along this same line one time somewhere, and I was out of state. And they said, well, Brother Ricky, we need to stand for the truth. I said, I'm with you 100%. But there comes a time, and maybe come a time, when we have to stand against some things.
Yeah.
And be faithful to the revelation of the truth of the gospel.
Yeah.
My friend, I want to tell you, if you're faithful to the truth of the gospel, there will come a time when you have to stand against some things.
Right.
Against some things. And I'll tell you what I'm against this morning. I'm against that which is contrary to the doctrine that I've been taught. I'm against that which goes to the extreme about what we've been taught. I want to tell you there's a line here. If I had time, I'd go back. And if some of you could have worked with me, with the power company a long time ago, we had a thing called a plumb line. And it had a point on it and a string on it.
Yep.
And we would set a pole, Brother Virgil. We didn't use a level, but we used the plumb line.
Right.
And when we got that plumb line just right, I want to tell you, the pole was where it needed to be.
Yeah.
Do you know what Amos said, and God said to Amos? He said, I'm going to give you a plumb line. This is Bible. It's not something I've drawn up. Go over and read the book of Amos. I don't have time this morning. But he said, I'm going to put a plumb line in the midst of my people. And brother, that plumb line was something that God used to measure their faithfulness and their continuance in the Word of God. And today we have a plumb line called God's Word.
We have a plumb line called the Bible that if we will, and I recognize that we fail, but if we will, to the best of our ability, lay our foundation according to that plumb line, I'll tell you the church will be better off than it's ever been.
The Bible tells me in 1 Timothy chapter 4, listen to it now, beginning with verse 13, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to what else? Doctrine. Does it say doctrines in the plural? No, sir. It says doctrine. Truth. Truth. Yes, sir. Till I come. Now that's a nautical term. In this day, we've got GPSs. And you know, sometimes it's hard for me to believe that thing. It really is. But I've learned not to question it pretty much. Now, it will carry you a different way every once in a while. But every once in a while, I don't trust it and I go my own way. And so, you know, that's a long story with a short end. But I'll just give you that. But in that day, you know how they navigated? They navigated with the stars, and they had some instruments that they navigated, but they could set their course. They could set their course. Till I come, set your course. Give to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with, that is in addition to, the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Now, brother, I want to tell you something today. Laying hands on a man doesn't make him preach one bit.
No.
Laying hands on a man, if he ever preached, he preached not because of the laying on of hand, but because of the call of God. And no man taketh this honor to himself except he which was called, as was Aaron. But laying on of hands never made a man preach. It was the sign that the church recognized that and gives that man authority to exercise his gift wherever the Lord may direct. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee, how? By prophecy, with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. You go back in the book of the Acts of the Apostles. The Bible says that they were called, but they prayed and laid their hands on them and sent them out. Now the Bible says, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, W-H-O-L-L-Y, completely, that thy profiting may appear unto all. Take heed unto thyself. And unto what? Unto the doctrine. There it is again. Unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. How plain could that be? You understand this, and I do too, but I'm going to mention it here because it's so simple. Every time the word saved is mentioned in the Bible, it sure don't mean going to heaven. Amen?
No.
Doesn't mean going to heaven. When Peter began to sing and said, Lord, save me, you think he's worried about dying, going to hell? No, he's wanting to be saved from drowning. That's right. If you go back over here, listen to this, and this will prove my point, talking about the woman in 1 Timothy 2 and 14, the Bible says, for Adam was first formed, then Eve. All right? And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, listen to this now, it's very important. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. Do you hear that? She would have been saved in childbearing. Delivered in childbearing.
Had there been no transgression in the Garden of Eden, there would be no pain in childbearing. But today, if we continue in faith and sobriety, that which came upon us because of the curse now becomes bearable. Now becomes bearable. Now listen to this. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved. The point I'm making is that talking about going to heaven, you got more sense than that. Don't work that way. This is talking about a salvation right now, right here, right now, physically and historically, while we live this generation. You see what he's saying here? I can't emphasize that. Being more to that. Meditate upon these things and give thyself wholly unto him. Now he's talking about to the preacher here, that thy profiting may appear unto all. Take heed unto thyself, good place to start, and unto the doctrine. Continue, that word means persevere, continue in them. For in doing this, in continuing in them, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. You see, in these things that the ministry practices, you are given authority to preach to save individuals. You know, the Bible said in the book of Proverbs, the wise man Solomon, Brother Virgil says this, he that winneth souls is wise. He that winneth souls is wise. You know, the reason I come over here this morning, I'm not wanting to populate heaven. I don't have that authority. That came because Jesus is a ransom. That came because of the work of Christ. Truth and everything else is fully balanced in the man, Christ Jesus. But the reason I'm here this morning is because I've been given an authority by the church 57 years ago to preach the gospel. But if I deviate from that gospel, that same church that gave me authority to preach the gospel can and must revoke that privilege if I depart from the truth. Amen? Sure. If they don't, they're in error.
That's it.
Now, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. All right? Now let's go to the text. O Timothy, keep that which I have committed to thy trust. Go back to the 3rd chapter and the 2nd chapter, I'm sorry, of 2nd Timothy. 2nd chapter of 2nd Timothy. Listen to what he said. Thou therefore, my son, here he goes again, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. Oh, what a message.
Yes.
What preaching there is in that.
Right.
Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Mm. Brothers and sisters, I can't emphasize enough to each one of you, young and old, today. Be strong
right.
in the grace. It's not all pleasant sometimes. I'd like to tell you that being a pastor is just all pleasant. Well, it's not. It's not. I'd like to tell you that it was, but from experience, I can tell you that it is not. But Paul says here, and he takes on this right head on. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
And the things that thou hast heard of me. All right, get it? The things that thou hast heard of me, I got them direct. You didn't get them that way. You see, God revealed his truth to those apostles directly. They didn't even have to study the word. It didn't come to Timothy like that. Paul told Timothy to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman, needing not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. Then he says this,
And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, they heard at the same time you did, the same commit thou to faithful men. You see how to carry it on? Christ revealed it to Paul. Paul revealed it to Timothy, preaching it. Now he says, Timothy, you commit that to faithful men down the line. That's the reason the church is here today. That's the reason the church is here today, is because faithful men have continued to persevere in the faith that was once and for all time delivered to the saints. And brethren, I want to tell you, if we're true to what God's word tells us, I don't care how much in the minority that we are, we must continue in the faith that was once and for all time delivered for the saints and for the good of the church, the testimony of Christ, and that glorifies God. You see, the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. There, therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He said, you're a soldier, Timothy. He said, this is a military action. You remember what he said over there? Put on the whole armor. Yeah. He talks about the warfare. He talks about the soldier. He said, you're a soldier of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. A good soldier of Jesus Christ. Do you know that a soldier's worth is proven on the battlefield?
Yeah.
Soldier's worth is proven on the battlefield. I've always been fascinated with a motion picture called Sergeant York.
Yeah.
It was made in 1941. And I get it on television, and I watch it probably once a week. Now, Sergeant York wasn't a Primitive Baptist, but there was a whole lot of practices that they had. They were the Church of Christ in Vital Union. That's the name of that very small foundation, that denomination up there in the mountains in northeast Tennessee. But the fact of the matter is that he was a good soldier. He was a conscientious objector. But in revealing and understanding what must be done, he did what was necessary, not because of himself, but that he himself might fulfill a responsibility that was given to him. Brother, I'm not here this morning. Brother Virgil's not here this morning to do those things that are just conscientiously ours. But we're here today and have been that the church of God might be upbuilded in the cause of Christ. And I want to admonish you today, if we are to follow the cause of Christ and deliver not only ourselves but those that hear us, it is a necessity that you and I be founded on the doctrine of Christ Jesus our Lord, who gave himself a ransom and redeemed those who were elected to salvation before the foundation of the world, and they shall be in heaven without the loss of one, and that's the security of the believer.
Amen.
Therefore, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, no man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen to be him to be a soldier. It's hard for us not to become involved in the affairs of this life. It's all around us. It's every day. This is not a perfect situation. I'd like to tell you it was, but it's not.
No.
Preachers become involved in things that they could help, but they fall by the wayside. The man Demas was one time called a fellow laborer and a yoke fellow of Paul. But the Bible says in 1 Timothy 4 and 10, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. This present world, to you young folks that are here today, I want to give you a warning from Brother Ricky. That there's a drawing power that this world has. There's a drawing power, you mother and daddy. And I know that you do the best you can, but there's still a drawing power to this world. You know, when I was a child, something like these here. Well, we went to church and we had it once a month on Saturday and Sunday. Y'all know how it was. And Miss Vestal Carter, she was my sixth grade teacher. And I saw her at the gas station one day. After she retired, she was getting old. She didn't need to be driving, but she was. I said, "Miss Carter, you want to go to Mississippi with me?" She said, "You going to preach?" And I said, "Yeah." She said, "No, I don't want to go." I said, "Why?" She said, "Well, I don't want to hear no more of this primitive Baptist stuff." Said, "I've heard this all my life." And said, "I'm a Methodist." And said, "I don't want to go." I said, "Well, you pray for me while I go." She said, "I know you're going to go." She said, I said, "I want you to pray for me while I go." She said, and hollered out the window, said, "Now, you know you got to preach my funeral, don't you?" And I said, "Yeah, I know that. You've got it written down. You have to come across those things to make you appreciate what you've got." But listen to this. Paul says there, he said, "He that warreth entangleth himself with the no man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, but that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." I want to tell you one thing today, and I got to hurry along with this. I got about 6 minutes, but you listen to this. Every one of you here today is a soldier. Every one of you. And I want to tell you, every one of you, I don't care who you are, male or female, adult or child, you have a ministry. That is a work that you can do to further the doctrine in the singular of Christ. And you are called on to do that. There's no retirement from it. No retirement. You know, I'm nearly 76 years old, but you know what? Today, I feel like I did 40 years ago. I really do. I feel that good today. And I didn't take a bit of medicine before I left either. Not one bit. Not one bit did I take. But I feel good this morning. You know why? Because I'll tell you, I've got something that my family or my neighbors really don't know anything about. Yeah. I've got something down in my soul like Isaiah had. You know, when the Lord told Isaiah and they were calling on somebody to go. You know what Isaiah said with a coal of fire in his mouth? He said, "Here am I, send me." Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, that ought to be our prayer as soldiers of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Here am I, send me. Lay, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings. You know, I've had people want to discuss things with me that nobody could answer. And I know probably you all have too. What, did Adam have a neighbor? You know, and that kind of stuff. You know, well, I don't know. I don't know. Adam wasn't born naturally, so I don't know. I think not, but I still don't know. Well, where did the waters go after the flood? Well, I don't know that either. That's above my pay grade. There are all sorts of theories about it, but I don't know. Somebody said there's going to be 1,000 years rain when the Lord comes back. I don't believe there are. I don't believe his foot will ever set on this sin-cursed earth again. But I tell you, I'm not perfect in my knowledge. I'm not perfect in that. It's a possibility, regardless of what somebody thinks, that I might be wrong. I have been wrong on occasion. Paul told Timothy, he said, "You might be wrong." That's what he's saying here. You study it out. "O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, that you got from me," he said, "you continue in it, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called." I want you to notice that. Science. That's Bible word. I took that in the ninth grade. You know, all of you all did too. Science. Falsely so-called. The average school today will teach you that this world is so many million years old that things change, and there was an ice age and the dinosaurs died. Now, I believe there were dinosaurs, all right. I believe that we've got skeletal remains of those things. There were giants in the land in that day. That's right. I want to tell you, I actually believe that there was a giant called Goliath. Amen?
Yeah.
I actually believe there was a giant called Goliath. I actually believe that the earth opened up and swallowed up 21,000 at one time and closed them back up again. You know what God called that? I'll make a new thing in the earth. There'd never been an earthquake seen, but God opened up the earth and swallowed up 21,000 to the exact number and closed it up again. I believe that actually and literally happened. Literally, physically and historically happened. But I'm going to tell you, I don't believe for one minute that this world is any older than what the Bible says it is. I'm a Bible believer. Science can say what it wants to. It's falsely so-called. I'm a Bible believer. I don't want to rub anybody the wrong way, but I believe there were three sons called Shem, Ham, and Japheth that were descendants of a man called Noah, and every race of man on the earth descended from those three sons. I'll take the Bible and prove it to you. I'll meet anybody with an open Bible, a Bible believer, and we'll prove that. That's right. Somebody says, well, what about intermarriage? You ever heard of that? Let me tell you something. There was no law given against that. There was no law given against marrying a near kinsman. All right? Let's see. God called on Cain to leave. He went to the land of Nod, and there he knew his wife. That is, he had a relationship with her, and they had children. Today, that's not legal. Why? Because of the law against it. But there wasn't a law against it then. Who did he marry? He married his sister. Of course he did. Married his sister. Wasn't any law against it. Until they had spent 430 years in the land of Egypt. And when they took their exodus and came out, God gave a law against it. God gave a law against it. Now, if you want to violate God's law, you go ahead, but I'm going to tell you, it's downhill. It's downhill. Knowingly violating God's law. It wasn't a law against it until they'd spent 430 years in the land of Egypt. That's how Timothy got where he needed. That's what they quoted time and time and time again. As it is written. Written where? Written in the Old Testament. As it is written. As it is written. They didn't have a New Testament, but it was as it was written and as it was revealed. Now let me tell you something else, and I got to quit right now. It's going to be good places in. Everybody that calls himself a Primitive Baptist, and he may get up in this thing or somewhere else and call himself a Primitive Baptist and preach something. Let me tell you, everybody that calls himself a Primitive Baptist, don't you take what he says that it was parachuted down from heaven. Because there are men that come and bring falsehood into the church. And when that seed takes root, and it will, yeah. When that seed takes root, then you have to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ to take that and cast it aside and bind it in burns to be burned. There's a parable about that. I have enjoyed trying to preach to you this morning. much as I have in a long time. I hope you haven't taken offense to what I've said, but I'll back up what I've said. And I'll tell you something else I would back up. I want to tell you there's one church in this world. There's one church in this world that follows this as close as we can. I'm not saying we're perfect, but I'm saying this, that Jesus set up one church. That didn't mean that just everybody in that one church was going to heaven. That's not what he's saying, that just our church and our membership is going to heaven. No, Jesus Christ has a church, and that is an invisible church.
Yeah.
That all the elect family of God are members, and they've been baptized by one Spirit, not by one water, but they're baptized by one Spirit into that one body, and they are made partakers of the Lord Jesus Christ by that one Spirit. All the family of God are in that church.
Amen.
But I want to tell you, all the family of God not in this church. Aren't we glad of that? I'm glad God's children's out there everywhere in the world. I'm glad they are. I wish they all know the truth, but they didn't. But I want to tell you right now, we are to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ to carry that great message. We are to be good soldiers, not that we're helping the Lord. The Lord doesn't need our help. But that we are proclaiming the truth of the gospel that gives us, and with authority that we have, that we might preach the unsearchable riches of Christ, that we might grow thereby. If you're here today and you love these things that we love, you come and we'll put your case before the church. Sing when you're ready, brother.
Amen, brother.